Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in the seventh canto, chapter 7, which is entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. And today's text should be 37, yes? 37? Adoksha jalampam ihashapatmana sharirinaha sangsriti chakra shatanam tad brahma nirvana sukham vidhur buddhas tato pajadvam hridaye hridishwaram adoksha jalam bamiha shubhatmana shariyanaksang sirchi chakka shatanam tad brahma nirvana sukham vidhur buddhas tato pajadvam hridaye hridishwaram adoksha jalam pamiha shubhatmana tad brahma nirvana sukham vidhur buddhas tato pajadvam hridaye hridishwaram oh, I'm sorry. Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidur buddhas. Tato bhajadvang hridaye hridishwaram. Ihashubhatmana. Sharirinak sangsriti chakra shatanam. Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidur buddhas tato bhajadvam hridaye hridishwaram adoksha jalam pamiha shubhatmana shariranak sangsriti chakra shatanam Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidur buddhas tato bhajadvam hridaye hridishwaram adoksha jalam bamiha shubhatmana sharirinak sangsriti chakra shatanam Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidur buddhas tato bhajadvam hridaye hridishwaram Vaishnavis. Adoksha jalam bhamiha shubhatmana sharirinak sangsriti chakra shatanam Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidur buddhas tato bhajadvam hridaye hridishwaram adoksha lajam vamiha shubhatmana sharirinak sangsriti chakra shatanam Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidur buddhas tato bhajadvam hridaye hridishwaram Okay, synonyms. Adokshaja, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the reach of the materialistic mind or experimental knowledge. Alambham. Being constantly in contact. Iha. In this material world. Ashubha Atmanaha. Whose mind is materially contaminated. Sharirinaha. Of a living entity who has accepted a material body. Sangsriti. Of material existence. Chakra. The cycle. Shatanam. Completely stopping. Tat. That. Brahmanirvana. Connected with the Supreme Brahman. The Absolute Truth. Sukham. Transcendental happiness. Viduhu. Understand. Buddhaha. Those who are spiritually advanced. Tataha. Therefore. Bhajadvam. Engage in devotional service. Hridaye. Within the core of the heart. Hrit Ishwaram. To the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul within the heart. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshiping the Supersoul within everyone's heart. It's a bit lengthy, but it's worth repeating. The real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realize from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshiping the Supersoul within everyone's heart. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Generally, it is understood that by merging into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, one becomes completely happy. The words Brahma Nirvana refer to connecting with the Absolute Truth, who is realized in three features, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Shabdete. One feels Brahma Sukha, spiritual happiness, by merging into the impersonal Brahman, because the Brahma Jyotir is the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadandakoti. Yasya Prabha, the impersonal Brahman, consists of the rays of Krishna's transcendental body. Therefore, whatever transcendental bliss one feels from merging in Brahman is due to contact with Krishna. Contact with Krishna is perfect Brahma Sukha. When the mind is in touch with the impersonal Brahman, one becomes satisfied. But one must advance further to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for one's remaining merged into Brahman effulgence is not always assured. As it is said, Aruya Krichena Parang Padam Tata Patanchedo Nadrita Yusmad Angayaha. One may merge into Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth, but there is a chance that one may fall because of not being acquainted with Adokshaja or Vasudeva. Of course, such Brahmasukha undoubtedly eliminates material happiness. But when one advances through impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in relationship with Him as a servant, friend, parent or conjugal lover, one's happiness becomes all-pervading. Then one automatically feels transcendental bliss, just as one becomes happy seeing the shining of the moon. Please get a cheer from Maharaj. One acquires natural happiness upon seeing the moon, but when one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's transcendental happiness increases hundreds and thousands of times. As soon as one is very intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one surely becomes free from all material contamination. Ya nirvritistanu britam. This cessation of all material happiness is called nirvritti or nirvana. Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1138, Brahmananda bhavedesha chet pararda gunikataha naiti bhakti sukham bodhe paramanu tulam api. Translation, if Brahmananda, the bliss of merging into Brahman effulgence, were multiplied 100 trillion times, it would still not equal even an atomic fragment of the ocean of transcendental bliss felt in devotional service. Wow. Paramabhuta prasanatman ashochati nakangshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is transcendental and situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto the Lord. This is Bhagavad Gita 18:54. If one advances further from the Brahma Nirvana platform, one enters the stage of devotional service, Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. The word Adoksha Jalambham refers to keeping the mind always engaged in the Absolute Truth, who is beyond the mind and material speculation. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo. This is the result of deity worship. By constantly engaging in the service of the Lord and thinking of His lotus feet, one is automatically freed from all material contamination. Thus the word Brahma Nirvana Sukham indicates that when one is in touch with the Absolute Truth, material sense gratification is completely nullified. Wow. This is a lot to speak on, so. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivade Paschatyade Shtarne Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raganatanvatam Tang Sajivam Chadvetam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatang Sha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhuve Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, who's speaking? Prahlad Maharaj. And he's giving instruction. Instruction not meant just for his classmates who are all of the same age, 5 years old, but for all time, for everyone. Because the instructions given by the pure devotees are exactly the same as instructions given by Krishna himself. Generally said that the Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna and the Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken about Krishna. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna also speaks many places. Here, Prahlad is giving instructions that would fall, we could say, into the 10th category. We know, especially the brahmacharis, have been pushing them for years to learn this verse. What are the 10 subject matters of the Bhagavatam? As given to us by Sukadeva Goswami back in the second canto. All of you should notice, spot test coming. Atra sarga visargasya stanam poshanam utaya. Manvantare eshanukata. They wrote a muktir ashraya. These are the 10 subject matters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Look it up. So Prahlad's instructions here to his classmates, they fall into the last category, ashraya. Samam bonam, taking shelter of the Supreme Personality. He's instructing his 5-year-old mates how to take shelter of Krishna, how to receive the highest happiness by taking shelter of the highest shelter available. That's Krishna. So Krishna is not so easy to understand. Krishna's given instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said within half an hour, 45 minutes maximum, Arjuna understood the whole thing. But so-called great scholars nowadays, they read the Bhagavad Gita over and over again, they still don't understand anything. And then Krishna speaks in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not just about Krishna. Krishna also speaks, just like we're in the Sunday lecture. Now we're in chapter 9 of the first canto. And back in chapter 7, you may recall, very germane to today's society, what's going on out there, all the craziness. Back in the 7th chapter was the incident of Ashwatthama killing the 5 sons of the Pandavas while they were sleeping, and then they chased him down. Arjuna arrested him, and then Krishna was instructing Arjuna as why he should kill him immediately. So this is very difficult for people to understand. You say that Krishna is God, but he's always telling Arjuna to kill. Arjuna is a good guy. He doesn't want to kill anybody. And Krishna, first of all, in the Bhagavad Gita, is pushing him to fight and kill. And now after the war is over, now again he's telling him to kill. What kind of God is this you guys worship? God is supposed to be love and peace and happiness. They don't understand. Because they don't understand the eternality of the soul. So in this particular verse, always stuck in my mind, Krishna is telling Arjuna why he should kill Ashwatthama. He says, Matam pramattam unmattam suptam balam striyam jadam papanam niratam beatam na ripum hanti dharmavit. Krishna says. So when God speaks, we should listen very carefully. Krishna is explaining why you should kill this person, because he's done something that should not be. He says, one who's dharmavit, who knows dharma, just like here we have our tattvavit, means somebody who knows the truth. Tattva means truth. And vit means knower. So tattvavit means knower the truth. So here Krishna says, dharmavit, one who actually knows dharma. Na ripum hanti. Na not. Ripum means enemy. Hanti, kill. So even if you consider somebody to be an enemy, if they fall into any of these categories, you should not kill them. So what are those categories? Matam means careless. If you consider somebody an enemy, but they're being careless, don't kill them. Pramatam means intoxicated. If somebody's your enemy, but they're intoxicated, don't take advantage and kill them. Matam, pramatam, unmatam means insane, crazy. If they're your enemy, they're crazy, don't kill them. Notice how the three are connected. First, matam, which means careless. Then pramatam is translated as intoxicated, because when somebody's intoxicated, they're very careless, isn't it? That's why they say don't drink and drive, or don't drive under an influence, because you become careless. Pramatam and unmatam. And a crazy person is translated there as insane. It's somebody who's extremely careless. They don't care about anything. They're completely careless. So you see how the three are connected. Matam, pramatam, unmatam. Then suptam. Somebody who's asleep, which is what Ashwatthama did. The boys are sleeping and he killed them. Suptam, somebody who's asleep, even if they're your enemy, you don't kill them. Suptam balam, a child, don't kill under any circumstances. We see what happened in Connecticut. All children, this guy was killing. Suptam balam, striyam, woman, never to be killed. Jadam, somebody who's foolish. Then prapanam, somebody who surrenders to you. If you're in a fight, and the enemy surrenders, then there's no question of killing him. But we see nowadays people don't do that. Person surrenders and they still blow them up or kill them or whatever. Prapanam. And then, niratam. Because generally in those days they were fighting from chariots. Rata means chariot. So niratam, if the enemy somehow or other falls down from his chariot, then you don't kill him. Prapanam niratam. Then beatam. If the person is afraid, beatam, beati means fearfulness. So beatam. If they're afraid, you don't kill them. So Krishna was telling Arjuna, you should kill him because he broke these rules. You know, there were boys, they were sleeping. You know, definitely you should kill him. So it's very difficult for people to understand Krishna's instructions. But here, Prahlad is instructing his childhood mates to take shelter of this person who is instructing always to kill. Because they don't understand. The soul is eternal. Actually, in that purport, Prabhupada explains that verses 1736, you can look it up. Prabhupada explains that nowadays they don't want to, you know, kill somebody who is a murderer, but it's good for the murderer to be hanged, because then he wipes the slate clean. All that bad karma that's hanging for committing murder, if they're killed, then the slate is wiped clean, they can start clean in the next life. But if they're not killed, if they're allowed to go into the next life with this karma hanging over their heads, then they're, you know, so this business of no capital punishment is for foolish people. Nowadays they don't know, they don't understand, because they don't understand the nature of the soul, the eternality of the soul. So Krishna is actually Anandamaya Abhyasat. Everybody knows that aphorism from the Vedanta Sutra. Anandamaya means composed of bliss. Anand is bliss. And Abhyasat means by nature. So by nature, God's nature is blissful. So again, we become confused. How can a blissful person tell somebody to kill? Blissful person means, oh man, everything's all right. Hey, you know, no. Very confusing. We're also, because we're part and parcel of Krishna, we're also by nature blissful. So how is it this material world is so full of misery? So full of misery, we actually make each other miserable. It's not that we're all happily going along and then some misery just comes along. No, we actually, in this material world, make each other miserable. Constantly. Not just occasionally, but practically constantly. We're making each other miserable. Either human to human or human to poor animals, like, you know, we have this studio next to the BBT, and from time to time I do some photography in there. And you look carefully, practically every square inch, there's some little tiny spider or something crawling along. Practically every single square inch. Actually, it is said the soul is sarvagata. Everywhere in this material world, there's life. So all these scientists are saying there's no life on the moon, there's no life on Mars, there's no life. You're blind. There's life everywhere. You just don't see it. You're walking along merrily, you're killing so many little insects that you can't see. So we're creating misery for other living entities, for ourselves. The demigods are creating miseries for us by sending bitter cold and intense heat and tsunamis and so on and so forth. There's nothing but misery here. So if the living entity is by nature blissful, how is it that we're so miserable? Because we have voluntarily turned away from the source of blissfulness, Krishna. As is stated in this purport, once you make that connection to Krishna, then the bliss is there. So even those who progress by their own strength, spiritual renunciation and meditation, they rise above the material platform. They come to the level of Brahman. But as stated here, they may be experiencing higher pleasure, no doubt. But if you take that pleasure and multiply it by trillions of times, it doesn't amount to one drop of the pleasure felt by the devotees when they engage in service to Krishna. And therefore, Arya Krishna Parampatam, if they don't engage in service to Krishna, then they fall down again. Because the soul cannot remain inactive. We cannot be inactive. So to reach Brahman effulgence means no activity. One is just aware of one's eternal existence. We become aware that I am an eternal being. I have nothing to do with this material nature. And one experiences some happiness from doing that, from realizing that. But if you don't progress further to engage in Krishna's devotional service, then again, by force, you become active again. And because you're not going to be active in Krishna's service, then you have to come back to the material world, Prabhupada would say. So many of these big, big sannyasis, yogis, they renounce the material world. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, they say Brahma is real and the material world, Jagan Mithya, it is false. So they renounce it. Go to Himalayas, whatever. But after some time, they come back again. They get involved in charitable work, opening schools, hospitals, or they get involved in politics. That means they're not experiencing the highest pleasure. And they're not happy in their so-called Brahman realization. Only the devotees can get to the point where they're not anymore at all attracted to anything material. Because they're so saturated with transcendental happiness, with bliss. That's the import of the famous Atmarama verse, which also, by the way, appears in that seventh chapter of the first canto. The first canto, such an important, the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is so important. It is chock full of instructions that will bring us to the platform of happiness if we follow them. Prabhupada, as you know, he came to America with that first canto already translated. We call them the Delhi Bhagavatams because they were printed in Delhi. And interestingly, for those who are always, you know, a little bit not so sure about how editing is done at the BBT, why they edit this, why they edit that, it is very valuable to look at those Delhi Bhagavatams. And Prabhupada was here when they were being edited because he wanted them edited into proper English and nicely polished. So we have the edited version of this first canto, and we have Prabhupada's original version of the first canto. You can compare the two. And it gives you an idea of how the editing process works, what exactly was done to Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada was here for the majority of that editing process. And he wanted his Delhi Bhagavatams to be polished, to become more presentable and digestible by Western thinkers and scholars. So very interesting. If you want to do that exercise, sit down with the original. If you don't have one of the very original one sets, then there is the facsimile set that was created a few years ago by the BBT. But the words are exactly the same. Even though the book is new, the words are exactly the same as the original Delhi Bhagavatams. So for those who are in any way, we should say, concerned or hesitant about how the editing process takes place, it's a very good exercise to do. Because that Delhi Bhagavatam is in essence, an original transcript of Prabhupada's works. So Prahlad, again, he's telling his classmates, because he already told them that the happiness derived from bringing the senses in contact with their objects, sukama yantakam daitya, deha yogena dehinam, sarvata labhate daivam, yata dukam ayatnata. He says, just like duk, misery, comes without you're asking for it, then similarly, whatever happiness is due to you will come. You don't have to chase after the objects of the senses. Whatever happiness you're going to be getting in this lifetime, it will come to you naturally. It will find you, no matter where you are. Whether you're in Miami or Vrindavan or LA, wherever you are, whatever happiness is due to you will come. You don't have to worry about it. Just as the misery, wherever you go, Puerto Rico or Peru or wherever you go, whatever misery you're supposed to get follows you, isn't it? Acharya Narottama Prabhu, wherever you go, your misery follows you. So similarly, your happiness will follow you. You don't have to worry about it. I remember one time one guru in ISKCON, he was complaining to me, you know, in a good-humored way, we were having lunch. He was saying how some of his disciples, many of his disciples, they come to him for permission to leave this temple and go to that temple, leave this country, go to that country. And he said, they don't realize, wherever they go, their minds go with them. Wherever you go, that same mind that you have, it goes with you. And that's really the source of your misery, that mind that you have. That's always pushing you to do crazy things and telling you not to do the things that you're supposed to do. That mind goes with you wherever you go. So whether you're in LA Temple or New York Temple or London Temple, wherever you go, your mind is going to go with you. And that same crazy mind, if you don't learn how to control it, it's going to tell you to do crazy things. So spiritual life begins with controlling the mind. Jitatmanam prasantasya. Paramatma Samanvata, Krishna says, for one who has controlled the mind, the super soul is already reached. And when you're in touch with the super soul, then you get good instructions at every moment. That's the benefit of controlling the mind. When we control the minds, we actually begin to hear Krishna. Otherwise, we don't really hear. We don't hear each other. We don't hear Krishna. Just like the last time I gave class, I was informing devotees that they can go to bbtmedia.com and get the books. So some devotee was listening on the internet. He said, you know, Prabhu, I couldn't get the books. I said, well, where did you go? He went to the Bhaktivedanta archives. That's not what I said. I said bbtmedia.com, not bhaktivedantaarchives.com. So if you don't listen, if you don't hear, you're not going to get the result. So we don't, when the mind is not controlled, we don't hear. We don't hear each other. We don't hear Krishna. And therefore, we can't get the result. So Krishna says, first of all, control your mind. When you control your mind, you can hear me. Jitatmana prasantasya paramatma samanvita. Sitoshan sukadukeshu tatamana upamanayo. And there are symptoms, because somebody says, yeah, I have control mind. But what are the symptoms? Krishna gives the symptoms. First of all, you should become jolly, happy, not morose. If you're morose and down, then you're not in, you haven't reached super soul. Parama, sitosha sukudokesho. No matter what the weather, cold, heat, whatever, you will do your service. That's the indication. Not that it's too cold, I'm not getting up today, or it's too hot, I can't. No. Whatever the situation, one will do one service. Tatama anopamanaya. This is the most difficult one. Whether you're being honored or dishonored, you will remain steady. Sometimes we're very, very happy when somebody's singing our glories. Oh, you made such a wonderful sabji, or distributed so many books, or sang a nice kirtan, or whatever. We soak it up. But then when you get smashed, especially by the authorities, you nonsense, didn't I ask you to do such and such? Where were you? You didn't show up. You were supposed to be on the altar this morning. You didn't call anybody to tell them. You just didn't show up. And when you get smashed, then, you know, you get angry. That's not a good sign. One who's actually controlled mind doesn't mean that you never, ever make any mistakes. But you accept the honor as well as the dishonor. Not that only honor and no dishonor. Whatever comes, one who's on the platform of controlled mind will accept as coming from Krishna. Not just accept, but seeing that Krishna is in control of everything. Prabhupada, just before he left, he said that. Krishna is in complete control. That is Krishna consciousness. Always stuck in my mind. If you look at that, Prabhupada's departure lila, one of the last things he said was that Krishna is in complete control. That is Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we think, well, Krishna is in control, but this person is causing me so much trouble. Why isn't Krishna control him so he doesn't cause me any trouble? No, Krishna is still in control. Even if somebody's giving you trouble, there's something happening there. We never like to see that maybe it's our karma that we're getting. But Prabhupada saw that way. Once in Montreal, Prabhupada had a darshan after the evening program, and there was some Bengali fellow there, gentleman, so-called gentleman. And he was getting on Prabhupada's case heavily. And the devotees were getting very angry, you know, and they wanted to grab this guy and throw him out, but Prabhupada was restraining them. So finally the man left, and Prabhupada asked the devotees, did anybody get his address? And he said, no. They were happy that he was gone. And Prabhupada said, why? Why not? He wanted to stay in touch with the man. But Prabhupada, he was giving you so much trouble. And Prabhupada said, oh, maybe it's karma. You know, maybe I gave him trouble in a previous life. Well, we don't like to see like that. We like to see if somebody's giving us trouble, it's their fault, and they should be smashed, and, you know, why doesn't Krishna shut them up? Well, no. One who's actually a devotee always sees like that maybe I deserve this. Maybe, you know, I did something to this person in a previous life, and now they're paying me back. So, this is proper vision. And the point, again, is, as Prahlad is saying to his classmates, if you come to this platform of Brahma Nirvana, so come, experiencing real happiness on a spiritual platform, then all of this doesn't bother you. Nothing that's going on here really bothers you. The only thing that bothers you is why other people are not taking to the process for experiencing the same happiness that you experience on the spiritual platform. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, yeah. That's true. That's true. But we're talking about ISKCON here, not just anybody out there. We're talking about ISKCON devotees. If you're in the proper consciousness, wherever you go is Vrindavan. Wherever you go. If you're in the right spiritual consciousness. As Maharaj was saying yesterday, Krishna only plays the flute in Vrindavan. You see Dwarkati standing there with the flute. This is Vrindavan. So if one is in actual spiritual consciousness, chanting nicely, hearing nicely, nicely performing devotional service, then one is not eager to run here and there. Yes, Prabhupada wanted us to go to the holy dhams, because the dhams are special in India. You know, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Puri, like that. But actually, if one is in real elevated spiritual consciousness, wherever you are, is Vrindavan. Wherever you are, you see Krishna. You see Krishna as being in control. You see Krishna. Service, that's the main thing. You see an opportunity to serve Krishna. That is the main thing about being advanced in Krishna consciousness. An advanced Krishna conscious person, a devotee, sees opportunity for service everywhere. So you don't have to run from this temple to that temple to serve Krishna. Wherever you are, you serve Krishna and you're happy. Right? Understand? Ajabhyam? Prabhu? Yeah. So yes, circumstantially, maybe at this point in time, it may be better for somebody to be in Mayapur, whatever. But let the authorities deal. And the point is, if you come to the authority and you present your mind, your heart to them, and I'd love to go to Vrindavan for some time in Mayapur, and they say, well, no, you think you stay here for some time and just continue your service, and you do it. But we only like authorities who tell us to do what we want to do. And the flip side of that is that we become so determined to do something, we don't want to be told to do anything else, therefore we run away. I've told this story several times. I was in New York in the 80s, I think it was 88, 89. One very nice brahmacharya was there. And then one day I saw he was packing. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to LA. I said, why? What's happening in LA? He said, true story. He said, my guru is coming to New York. And I know he's going to tell me to do something I don't want to do. So I'm leaving. That's rascaldom. That's rascal thinking. Understand? I'm a ranger. Well, technically you could say it's better to... Yeah, because to disobey the orders of the spiritual master is a very serious thing. There's one incident where Prabhupada was with some life member, or somebody who wanted to be a life member, I forget which, if it was ready or not, but he was saying, Swamiji, I would like to build some temple. You just instruct me. Tell me to... And Prabhupada said, no, it's okay. And the man kept insisting, but Swamiji, I want to build temple for you, and just tell me, order me. And Prabhupada said, he wouldn't. So after the man left, the devotees were saying, well, you guys, the devotees are always excited. Somebody wants to build a temple. So Prabhupada, they asked Prabhupada, why didn't you order him? He said, because if I ordered him to do it and he didn't do it, it would be a great offense. And Prabhupada could see the man was a rascal. He was just pretending that he had money and he was going to do something. Prabhupada said, if I ordered him to do it and he didn't do it, it would be a great offense. So I didn't order him to do it. All right, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.